In Nigeria, it was legal to own a slave until 1916. Today, the descendants of slaves still face discrimination and even shaming when it comes to getting a job, getting married, or becoming a village leader. But slowly, things are starting to change. Author Adobe Trisha Wobani has been writing about the descendants of Nigeria slaves and their fight for equality.
It's clearly a taboo topic. People are ashamed of it. It's something they hide. The people I've known all my life who I know are descendants of slaves, and we've never discussed it. So you just happen to know, just the same way you know someone is Italian, someone is Russian, and you know, you just know that this person was a descendant of a slave. It just comes up somehow, and you just don't remember how you knew, but everybody knows. But in the course of writing the story, I forced myself to talk about it with some people, and for them, it was the first time in their lives someone who wasn't a member of their families was discussing it with them. A number of people just said, no, I can't even discuss this. I can't, you know, and then even people who agreed to speak with me, some would whisper the entire time. It may not be spoken about openly, but everybody knows who they are. It's talked about behind their backs. And people are cautioned, oh, you can't marry that person. Remember, he's, you know, descendant of a slave. So these are things that are whispered about. And I've heard these things all my life.
As you researched your story, you interviewed a lot of slave descendants and their advocates. Introduce us, if you would, to Ogechukwu Maduagwu, and tell us about the group she founded.
Ogechukwu Maduagwu is a young woman in her 40s. In 2017, a close friend of hers was prevented from marrying a slave descendant, and she saw how devastated her friend felt, and it awakened something in her. And from then, she decided that she was going to do something to bring an end to the discrimination against slave descendants. So Oge Maduagwu founded this group that goes to different communities, engaging with the people and the traditional rulers and the descendants of slave themselves, holding reconciliation meetings with the aim of getting to a point where they abolish the discrimination, well, abolish the caste system.
She's basically a modern-day abolitionist, it sounds like.
She is a modern-day abolitionist because in all the meetings I attended, you know, I accompanied her in certain meetings around southeastern Nigeria, the word abolition was being used. So she is a modern-day abolitionist. So engaging traditional rulers, enabling meetings between the descendants of slaves, most of them bitter and aggrieved.
I'm speaking with Nigerian writer Adobe Trisha Wobani about the descendants of Nigeria slaves and their fight for equality. Let's listen to a bit of Maduagwu and what her mission is.
Our ancestors may have spoken in darkness, but we must speak from the light. The past mistake is only a lesson and not a light into our future. So let's come together. Let's eliminate inequality and slavery that we may be truly free.
And today Maduagwu travels around Nigeria to try to convince traditional rulers to remake the rules for slave descendants. The traditional powers that be, I guess, are often baffled by her efforts to shake up the system, right?
They are baffled, but they listen to her. Some of them feel, we'll see how far we can go. Some say, yes, we're going to take definite steps. And a lot of the traditional rulers these days are well-educated. Some of them have schooled in, you know, the best schools around the world, have attended the best schools around the world. So they understand. But then without anyone having that conversation with you and pointing out how out of tune the discrimination is with today's world.
Speaking of out of tune, I mean, you describe how Maduagwu goes to a town called Ogbaru, where the descendants of slaves have had a very rough time. And the traditional leaders of the town suggest the slave descendants pay the families who once owned their ancestors $80 each to end discrimination. I mean, it's like reparations in Bizarro World. How does that idea go over?
First thing I'll say is African solutions for African problems. That's very important. This is a specific issue that has to be dealt with in a way that the people in this part of the world will understand it and accept it. They're not paying to buy their freedom. I mean, they're just saying a token amount. And the reasoning behind it is the Igbos are highly spiritual people. Africans generally believe in this.
Group of the Igbos, yeah.
Yes, the ethnic Igbo group, very spiritual people. Africans generally, spiritual people. Nigerians, very spiritual. So the people believe in a realm beyond the physical. Now, the reasoning is that money changed hands, you know, before one became a slave. And the forces that take possession of a human being and perpetrate what we now describe as oppression in today's language and in today's world, hang on to that exchange, that transaction. And so if you want to send back, sort of rewind those forces, you need some transaction as well. There has to be something for them to to send back those forces.
But it's just clearly like the someone... people who have to pay that money can't be happy about this.
Well, some aren't. But then they're the minority, believe it or not.
Really?
And the majority, the majority just want it to end. They want the discrimination to end. So this is strictly an African solution for an African problem. And I caution, people don't need to get outraged and begin to say, how can slaves pay for themselves? Because it's not about a payment. It's about the understanding of the people and something that will work for the culture we're dealing with. So the whole idea is you present this instrument for the reversal, which is the money, and then it's presented to the families who own the slaves, and then they strike their offer, which is their staff of authority, and declare the slaves free. So that is a completely traditional thing.
It is a fascinating look at just what slavery has been in Nigeria. What does it all mean to you today, Adobe? Because this is clearly a story that's still evolving.
I listen to the stories of the slave descendants, many of them people, you know, like me and you, people that are well-educated, people that were wealthy, people that, you know, they could have been anything in life. And then they tell you their experiences and how their lineage, how their ancestry has been such a handicap. And it was just so painful to me to realize that something like this, the mere fact that someone's great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was owned by somebody else, has managed to hinder somebody's life, to put so many stumbling blocks in their way. That for me was the part that I found so horrifying, so emotional, listening to these people telling me about their experiences. And I thought, my goodness, this has to end. These are my thoughts at this time. And I'm just hoping that this story will lead to a process of deep soul searching amongst the Igbo people of southeastern Nigeria. And I hope also that it will encourage more of the slave descendants to openly declare themselves, yes, I am, yes, I was, whatever. And then, you know, bring this issue out into the light and hopefully we can all squash it together, finally.
Writer Adobe Tricia Wobane speaking with us from Nigeria's capital, Abuja. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Adobe's research on the descendants of slaves in Nigeria and their fight for equality was sponsored by the Pulitzer Center for Crisis Reporting.